Psalm 100, if you would, please. Psalm 100 is one of the first psalms that would come to your mind as you think about thankfulness or think about praise to our God. When we think of various places where God has put us, put information about praising Him, this certainly includes a lot of information. So let's take the time to read through that, and I want to kind of set the stage for what I want you to think on tonight. And as I said this morning, most of the time when we have our services, we take the time to do an expository study of a passage. That is, we open the Scripture and we just go down through and find out what truths God wants us to expose out of there and how they apply to our lives. For this evening, we'll do a topical study. That is, we're looking at the topic of thanksgiving and how that should apply to us. Now, let me reiterate as well, as we looked at this morning, thankfulness is not something that a believer should have once a year, the week of Thanksgiving. Thankfulness should characterize us on a daily basis. And one of the things that we learn about thankful people is that they are not complaining. They're not ungrateful people. They're not disheartened people. Thankful people have a much better spirit. And I love the study I referred to this morning. Our secular world has even come to that conclusion, that people who are thankful are not people who have time to complain. And even though there are the same difficulties in two people's lives, the attitude of one group of people who is thankful will be so much different than the other group that it often affects them even physically. Their health is better as a result of that thankful spirit. Well, we could tell you that from Scripture. The Bible teaches us that a believer ought to be thankful. He just should have that characteristic about him. And I trust that you'll develop that and you'll really work on that if that's something that you don't have. Psalm 100 begins by saying, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." In that particular psalm, there are a couple of things that are pointed out for us. That joyful noise that we make to the Lord, sometimes we'll have some banter about that. There are some people who sing, and then there are some people who make a joyful noise. And there may be a few of those here tonight. But that joyful noise is a praise to Him. It is singing. It is just expressing ourselves to God. And then later in this passage, it says that we're to come before His presence with singing. This is why when we worship together, singing is a big part of our worship. And we want to be careful that our music is something that honors God. One of the things that we'll have in heaven that we have here on earth is music. We'll sing to the Lord. And as you go down through that passage, it says that we're to come to Him, we're to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. I asked this question on Wednesday night as well. Let's lay this as a foundation again. What is the opposite of thanksgiving? Remember what we came to? What is the opposite of thanksgiving? What would it be? All right, griping would certainly be a big thing. What, I heard some other words. What else? All right, ungrateful, thanklessness, yeah, bitterness, yeah. I think all of those things will be part of it. And so let's substitute that for a minute. Enter into His gates with griping. Well, that doesn't work real well. Enter into His gates with bitterness. Enter into His gates with ingratitude. Well, you don't do that. When you're coming into the presence of the Lord, He said, you know, folks, I don't want you coming into My presence with this melancholy, griping spirit. I want you to be thankful people. I know that things are not always the way we would like for them to be. I read Matthew Henry. Some of you have heard of his commentary. He had this spirit of thankfulness, and people knew that, but I was reading some things on thankfulness, and it said that Matthew Henry was out one day and he got robbed. And he lost his wallet, and everything in it didn't have a lot of money in there. But he put in his journal that night this attitude. And they said this was just typical of him, how he would find something to thank the Lord for. He said in his journal, "Lord, I thank Thee that I didn't have a lot to lose. And Lord, I thank Thee that I was the one robbed and not the one doing the robbing." All right, you can find something to be thankful for. You heard about the guy who was just always finding something to praise the Lord and thank the Lord for. And this, I think it was a lady came and she fell down the steps, and it was obvious when she got to the bottom of the steps, leg was broken. Well, what do you thank the Lord for at that point? All right, I'm not dead. I'm still alive. Yeah. Anything else? I didn't break my neck. Yeah. Well, hers was, Lord, thank you that that's over. You know, you can find something to be thankful for no matter where you are. But if you're a person who's looking to be bitter, if you're a person that's looking to find problems, it's out there. You won't have much trouble finding it. But when the Lord instructs us here, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, as we went through our passage last week, we studied a couple of things. We put up there, first of all, that we want to praise God for his majesty and his power. And we used several scriptures to show that, how God's majesty and his power are something that the more we see of God, the more we're going to praise him because of his majesty and power. Then we put up as well that there is just the command for praise and adoration. God is not being selfish when he demands praise and adoration from us. He is God. And he has the right to, and he should expect that from us. When God wants us to praise him and adore him, it is not like us saying, I lift myself up and I want you to praise and adore me. He, by his very nature, is the one who is to be praised and adored. And so it is not selfish of God because of who he is. When we understand his majesty and power, it naturally brings us to the place where we want to praise and adore him. And you begin to look at the scriptures and you find that there are a number of places where we're told to praise and adore him. I quoted a verse this morning that's on this list, Hebrews 13:15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. You remember the next word? Continually. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Here is God saying, I want the fruit of your lips to be constantly thanks to the name of God for what he's done. That he has given you so many opportunities. Even here tonight, there are people who have gone through difficulties, but you can be thankful that you're here tonight and God has given you the opportunity to praise him. And so this evening, as we have the opportunity to join together, we're going to read a few scripture passages, and then we're going to give you an opportunity to do just that, to praise and thank our God for who he is and for what he has done. Let me ask you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8 with me, please. And tonight, as we go through, I'm going to have you look at a couple of passages of scripture. Some of them I won't spend long commenting on. We'll just set the context. But here's Deuteronomy, way back in the Old Testament. Found this to be an interesting passage of scripture. Moses is giving a little historical perspective here. And as he gives that historical perspective, he gives them a little glimpse of what's going to come in the future. And he tells us that in verse 7, chapter 8 and verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Boy, I hope that characterizes us. We live in the United States of America, where God has poured out his blessings upon us. Even though we're in these particular times having financial difficulties, look around us. We're still doing well. We compare it to the times of superabundance and maybe artificial abundance. But we have a lot. And I hope you and I have this attitude of verse 10, that when you have eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Do you bless God? Do you thank God? Do you praise God for the land that He's given you, for all of the good things that He's done? I trust that you do. I've asked Troy to stay up here because I find that singing is one of the ways that we express our praise to God. And so I'd like to do this tonight. We're going to go through some of the songs of thanks in our hymnal. And some of these you may not know real well. And that's fine. We'll learn them together. But we're going to sing two songs. And then when I come back up, I'm going to ask you to give a testimony. Perhaps tonight you have thought of something that God has done that you just want to praise Him for, or something that you just want to tell people that God is doing in your life. And so let's sing together, and then let me hear from you some testimonies. Troy?
Number 316. Let's sing the second and the third verses, beginning with verse 2 and then verse 3.
You've been so good to me, you've always been so good to me. My heart can never thank you enough. To think of all you've done for me, the victories that you've won for me, my heart can never thank you enough.
Now, what did we do? What did I do there that I said we weren't going to do?
Yeah, about halfway through, I realized that. So verse 1 was good, wasn't it? And I think verse 2 is good, and verse 3 is probably good too. So let's just go ahead and sing verse 2 and 3, and maybe I can turn my brain on now.
Oh, Lord, you mean so much to me. Your loving kindness touches me. My heart can never thank you enough. Your grace has met my every need. Your sacrifice is all I plead. My heart can never thank you enough. Oh Lord, you've been so true to me. Your word is ever new to me. My heart can never thank you enough. The blessings that you've shown to me, your presence you've made known to me, my heart can never thank you enough.
And now we're singing number 449. Number 449.
We thank Thee for the morning light, for rest and shelter through the night, for health and food, for love and friends, for all Thy goodness sends. Our God is great, our God is good, and we will thank Him as we should. By His great hand we all are fed. He gives our daily bread. We thank Thee for the summer breeze, for song of birds, for shade of trees, for stars that glitter in the sky. We thank Thee, Lord, on high.
Psalm 107, verse 22. Let me turn your attention to that. Psalm 107. In In this psalm, David is talking about God's providence over men in the various areas of life. And here's what he says in the middle of this. Psalm 107, verse 22. It says, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing." You know, in the Old Testament, there was actually a thank offering. That is, that there was an offering that you could go and give at the temple if you just wanted to thank the Lord for what he had done. And David was very familiar with that. And so in this verse, when he says, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving," he really was encouraging the people. He said, "You know, folks, there ought to be a time when you're just overwhelmed by God's goodness to you. You're overwhelmed by the fact that God has given you so much." Now, certainly in our time, we should, when we reflect upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, I hope you're overwhelmed by his goodness to you. That you recognize that Jesus Christ has given us far more than we could ever expect and far more than we deserved. And the result of that would be what the end of this verse says, that we would declare his works with rejoicing. And so let me ask you tonight, is there someone who has a testimony? Maybe the Lord has just been gracious to you and you want to share that with other folks. But tonight, as God has worked in your life, that you want to thank him for the things that he's done. Let me start over here with Johnny and then I'll get Rob. All right? Then Rob. I'll get you first.
Well, mine's about Rob and Dan, so better let him
go. All right, let's start with Rob then. Yeah.
I had an incredible Thanksgiving by the grace of God. One of the things I'm thankful for is Rob flew in, got in 2 a.m. or something like that, so he was here for Thanksgiving. And the really cool thing about that, while he was here, he was able to see my brother Dan, who just had his transplant Tuesday. And we were actually able to visit with him on Thanksgiving Day. He was out of bed, in a chair, able to talk to us, and his testimony is incredible. His thankfulness to God is just amazing. And it leaves me speechless. It was just such a blessed Thanksgiving, and just by God's hand and his grace. And I am also thankful for all of you and all of your thoughts and prayers. So much appreciate that.
Amen. Good. And I understand Dan has just had a tremendous testimony as he's waited for that heart transplant, that he's just really never lost a faith and trust in God, that he was in control of all that. Good. Johnny?
And he also walked over 1,000 feet today.
That's what I heard. Good. Yeah. So he's doing great with that. All right. Keep praying for him. He's doing well. All right. Someone else. Just what has God done in your life? Ruth?
And the people down there in the Baptist community were really wonderful to us. When I was down there this last spring, I got on in the hospital, and there were some of the best opportunities for services. And that was a jumping better than the other kind of sick. Right away, there were two people who they got me back up.
Amen.
It's just really, I know that whenever we go down, you know, that's our church away from home. They call them the city of their own house. They're the home away from home. We also have church away from home.
Amen. Good. Amen. Good. Thank you. Good. Carol?
And then they can have fellowship with him, talk with him,
That's also amazing. I've not always done as I should. Not always stayed close to him like I should. I'm thankful for the verse in 1 John 1:9 says, "We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful too for a promise. I think this is the Prophet Moses verse. In Philippians 1:6, so being confident of this very thing that he which hath begun a good work in you, or in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I think him that came to die, that he's still working in my heart.
Amen. Good. Thank you. Okay. I saw Carol's hand, and then we'll get a few more later. Carol? Good. All right, let's take our hymnal again. We have a couple more songs that deal with thankfulness. And so let's do two more of those. And then there are some other testimonies. I saw a couple of other people, I think, that wanted to give a testimony as well. Troy?
493.
Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God, our Maker, doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field, fruit unto his praise to yield, wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Lord of harvest, grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come, and shall take his harvest home. From his field shall in that day all offenses purge away. Give his angels charge at last, in the fire the tares to cast, but the fruitful ears to store in his garner evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come to thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified in thy presence to abide. Come with all thine angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home.
And now over to number 499. Number 499, let's stand together as we continue our songs of thanks.
Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and next. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore.
You may be seated.
Let's turn to the New Testament for a moment, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. There are a number of verses in the New Testament that speak of our thankfulness, and not just as something that's optional, but something that is expected, something that should be part of our heart and part of our praise to God on a regular basis, that I develop a thankful spirit. And I think this is critical in a believer, because you can't gripe and be thankful at the same time. It just is an impossibility to do. And that will heal a lot of hurts and heal a lot of anxiety when we learn to do that. Colossians chapter 1, let's look at verse 12, and then we'll turn over to chapter 3. Colossians 1 verse 12 says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be," and that's the idea, "qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." In that particular passage, the Apostle Paul is telling us some responsibilities that we have. And as he gives us those responsibilities, he includes in that the responsibility to give thanks unto the Father. Does he hear your words of thanks on a regular basis? Does he hear your words of thanks, particularly as to what Paul is saying here, that he has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light? It is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have gained that qualification. I am not going to have the inheritance. I'm not going to have heaven because of who I am or because of what I have done, all of my good works. I'm going to have heaven because of what Christ has done. Amen. That there is a point where he helped me to understand that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I have believed that. I've trusted in him as Savior. And having done that, my sin is now placed upon him and his righteousness upon me. And there's where we come to the place where we say, I'm going to give thanks unto the Father. Why? He's made me qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Turn over to chapter 3 and you'll see that he mentions this idea of thankfulness again. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians 3 verse 15. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You know, here again is an aspect of thanks when Paul is talking to the believers in the church at Colossae. He said, folks, I want you to do a couple of things. First of all, I want the peace of God to rule in your hearts. God's intent is not for turmoil to rule in our hearts. God's intent is not for an upset, bitter, angry spirit to rule in our hearts. He said, instead, those of you who are believers ought to have enough confidence in God that you can have the peace of God ruling in your hearts. That applies in many different aspects. There are times when turmoil will come. There are things that just don't go the way we expect them to do. Well, in spite of that, you and I have a sovereign God. He's in charge. He's in control. And He perhaps has something for me to do during those difficult times, like a Joseph or a Daniel, or like Paul when he ends up in prison. But while it's not according to my plan, it is according to God's plan, and there's something that He wants to accomplish during that. And so the peace of God can rule in my heart. But beyond all of that, I have the peace of God in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Regardless of what happens, I am at peace with God because my sin has been forgiven, and I have a Heavenly Father who loves me and cares for me dearly. I want you to turn to one other passage, and it's just over a little bit further, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And remember at the end of Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, there's a command, be ye thankful. Just do it. Don't try to feel like doing it. Don't wait until you feel like doing it. Just be a thankful person. Here again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Why should we do that? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That is as clear as it can be, that we are to give thanks. Well, why are we to give thanks? Because it's God's will for us to do that. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He wants His people to be characterized by thankfulness. You know, many people are characterized by discontent. They're characterized by greediness. They're characterized by an unsettled spirit because of the things that happen around us. Of all people, you and I should be completely different than that. That in the midst of storms, that we have an anchor that keeps us secure. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen. Oh, we need to be prepared. We need to take action. We need to do the things that we need to do. But in the midst of all of that, we can have a peace and we can have a thankfulness that surprises people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And I trust you exhibit that. Not because it's encouraged by the pastor, not because our society says it's good for you, but because God commands us to do that. Have that thankful spirit. Well, let me take a minute again. There were some others, I think, that wanted to give a testimony, and perhaps tonight it's just praise to God for what He's done or something that the Lord's done in your life throughout the course of this year. Who else had a testimony that they wanted to share with us this evening? Sharon? Good, thank you. Okay. Someone else? Kim?
It's hard to know where to begin when you start talking about thanking God. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting there thinking, you know, what can I say that would really come on in my life? And one thing that I'm really thankful for is His Word. His Word is just awesome. Every time I get in a pinch, which is quite often lately, I run to it. And I love the source that says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of reading Colossians chapter 3, and it says, let your affection on things above. You know, so he's telling me to do this. Set my affection on things. I thought, well, okay, Lord, how do I do that? What are these things? And so I began to look to see what are the things above. And he's just obliging me with teaching me that there's things above, the plan of Jesus, and the angels, and all the streets, and just, you know, they're on and on and on. Like, I'm really excited about that. So, his word is just going to run.
Amen. Great. Thank you, Kim. All right. One more before we sing two more songs. Anybody else? All right. Well, we'll stop there. Jesse, okay?
I've sat here long enough. I'm not somebody who just gets up and talks, but I'm thankful for a lot of things. But I've here lately thought about the years that the Lord has given me since 88. I was my first heart operation, triple bypass, and then 95, a double. And yet, he's permitted me to enjoy good health, so much good health, that I've been able still to be able to hunt, and I still field dress my deer and drag it out, take it home and skin it out. And I think, you know, at my age, 73, in case y'all think I'm only 39, 73, that's pretty good, you know? And I thank the Lord for him and also for my salvation.
Amen. Good. Yeah. And for a wife that'll help you with that once in a while, that dressing that deer. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I want to conclude the songs of thanksgiving with two that are simply entitled Thank You, Lord. One of them you know well. It's the chorus. We'll finish with that one. We're going to actually finish with the song How Great Thou Art, but in these particular songs. But then another song that's called Thank You, Lord, as well. Let's turn to number 498 in your songbook and sing through these two songs. And I'll make a couple of comments before we finish up tonight.
Those of you that may be so inclined to sing that descant on the chorus, especially sopranos or tenor, higher voices, and the rest of us will allow them to do that, have that opportunity as we sing. 498.
Loving Shepherd of my soul, keep me close, I love you so. Lead me where the waters flow, in your rich green pasture. Be my guide, I'm in your care. Keep my feet from every snare. I will follow anywhere you call me to go. Thank you, Lord, I will thank you, Lord. In your will I'm content, I'll not wish for more. I will seek your kingdom first, I will trust all that you do. Thank you, Lord, I rejoice in you. Shepherd of eternity, all my future you can see. Show me what is best for me. I trust in your goodness. In the valley I'll not fear. Through the storm your voice I hear. Your strong arm is always near. I rest in your love. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, I will thank you, Lord. In your will I'm content, I'll not wish for more. I will seek your kingdom first, I will trust all that you do. Thank you, Lord, I rejoice in you.
over to number 622. If you need the words, number 622, let's stand together as we sing. Singing again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and for your good singing. Please remain standing.
We finished up on Wednesday night with the song, How Great Thou Art. It's number 38, if you want to go ahead and turn there. But as we come to that song, I want to finish with that because there's always a little bit of a tension in Scripture between understanding, not necessarily understanding, but balancing what God has done and who we are. You know, the truth is that we can understand that completely. We are who we are because of who God is. God has changed us into something that is completely different than what we would be on our own. You know, I sometimes don't even want to dwell on that, where I would be without the Lord. And of all the things that we're thankful for, I trust that you have understood that Jesus Christ wants to save you from your sin. And if you've trusted Him as your Savior, then He's changed you and He wants you to be changed into His image. And when we understand that, we are changed because of who God is. And all of our thankfulness has to come back to the one aspect of how great Thou art. Let's finish with that song tonight, and that is the foundation of all of our thankfulness.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook, and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And when I think that God His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
I want you to leave with that in mind, how great God is. He has done some wonderful things for us. We're going to be dismissed in prayer in just a moment. Now, if you are a parent of a teenager, if you just want to stay in fellowship, we're actually going to meet at 3.14 Pizza. And if you say, well, I can't afford pizza, I'm going to order two pizzas, and however long they last, they'll last. So if you want to come and fellowship with us, you're welcome to do that. If you are coming, please say something to me so we'll know that we have at least enough people to eat two pizzas. So yeah, let me know if you're going to go with us up there. But if you want to do that, if you don't know where it is, let me know. It's just 5-10 minutes from here. But the teenagers will be done about, they're planning to be back here between 7:45 and 8 o'clock, and we'll shoot for that as well with the parents. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll see you again on Wednesday night. Father in heaven, how great thou art. And we recognize tonight that you sent your Son to redeem us. And Lord, as a result of that redemption, we can gather this evening and we can enjoy the fellowship of other believers and we can enjoy praising you. Lord, help us not to simply give that praise during this time of year, but help us to make that a part of our character. Lord, it will change not only individual constitutions, but it is something for our church as well. And Lord, you've given us grateful people, and for that I am thankful. Lord, I pray you'll help us to represent you well wherever we find ourselves this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks.
Hey, no
very
problem.
Good.